Imagine being asked to deliver increasingly painful electric shocks to a stranger simply because a man in a lab coat tells you to. Would you stop when the victim screams in pain, or would you continue all the way to potentially lethal levels? In 1961, Yale psychologist Stanley Milgram designed an experiment to test how far ordinary people would go when following orders. The results were so disturbing, they forever changed our understanding of human nature. Participants believed they were administering electric shocks to a learner, actually an actor, for wrong answers in a memory test. As voltage increased from 15 to 450 volts, the victim's reactions progressed from mild discomfort to agonized screams to disturbing silence. If participants hesitated, the experimenter would simply say, "The experiment requires that you continue." No threats, no incentives, just calm insistence. Before conducting the study, Milgram asked psychiatrists and regular people to predict the outcome. Everyone believed only 1 to 2% of participants, sadists and psychopaths, would go all the way to the maximum voltage. The reality? A shocking 65% of ordinary Americans, teachers, engineers, housewives, administered what they believed were potentially fatal shocks. Many trembled, sweated profusely, and even experienced seizure-like fits, yet they continued pushing those buttons. When obeying harmful commands, Milgram found we enter an agentic state, becoming instruments of authority rather than autonomous actors. This transformation has deep roots in human development. From childhood, we learn that respecting authority is essential to social functioning. Parents issue commands, teaching both specific moral lessons and the value of obedience itself. Schools further reinforce this pattern by training us to function within hierarchies. By adulthood, most have internalized respect for authority as a core value. The most troubling aspect is what Milgram calls the disappearance of personal responsibility. We feel accountable to the authority directing us, but not for the content of our actions. This explains why many participants claimed, "If it were up to me, I wouldn't have continued." We've all experienced this shift when following questionable directives or implementing policies we disagree with, often saying, "I'm just doing my job," revealing how our moral focus shifts from consequences to how well we fulfill our assigned role. Milgram's research revealed how physical distance affects our willingness to harm others. When victims became closer, audible, visible, or requiring physical contact, obedience rates dropped significantly. While 65% of participants administered maximum voltage to a remote victim, only 30% complied when forced to physically place the victim's hand on a shock plate. Proximity activates our natural empathy, as we evolve to feel others' pain when we directly perceive them. This explains how modern systems enable mass harm. Drone operators, executives approving dangerous cost-cutting, and bureaucrats processing deportations all benefit from the psychological insulation distance provides. It's simply easier to cause harm from afar than through direct contact. The digital age has amplified this effect. Online harassment thrives because screens separate perpetrators from victims. Corporate decisions affecting worker safety often happen far from factory floors. Understanding this proximity principle is crucial for designing ethical systems. Perhaps executives should regularly visit those affected by their decisions to bridge the psychological gap. Once we enter the agentic state, powerful forces keep us there. Like a spider's web, these binding factors create multiple attachments that strengthen our obedience. The sequential nature of action creates one such force. Milgram designed his experiment as a series of small steps, increasing by just 15 volts each time. This gradual escalation makes it difficult to determine when to stop. If you've already given 195 volts, why not 210? Each increment feels like a natural progression rather than a moral choice. Social obligations form another binding force. Breaking off requires breaching the implicit social contract. Many participants worried about letting down the experiment, despite moral concerns. a pressure to follow through on commitments we've all felt. When strain becomes too great, we employ mechanisms to reduce tension without defying authority. Some participants turned away while pressing the shock button. Others created consoling interpretations or blamed victims. Psychological mechanisms that allow continued participation in harmful acts while making internal conflict tolerable. While individuals struggle to resist authority alone, groups can effectively challenge it. In Milgram's variation, where two actors refused orders before the real subject decided, 90% of participants joined the rebellion, compared to only 35% who resisted when alone. Peer rebellion provides social proof that disobedience is acceptable, validating internal doubts and normalizing resistance. Conversely, authority can use groups to facilitate harmful compliance. When participants performed only subsidiary acts while someone else administered shocks, compliance increased dramatically. By removing direct responsibility, participants felt minimal psychological strain despite being essential contributors. This mechanism reveals how destructive bureaucracies function. Responsibilities are distributed, so few individuals directly perform harmful acts, while most handle seemingly innocuous supportive tasks. The Holocaust exemplified this. For every camp guard directly involved in killing, thousands maintained train schedules, processed paperwork, or managed supplies, each claiming, "I never hurt anyone," despite being vital cogs in a murderous machine. Milgram's research coincided with the Vietnam War, providing a real-world parallel to his findings. Ordinary Americans, transformed by military authority, committed atrocities without apparent moral restraint. The My Lai massacre exemplifies this reality. In March 1968, American soldiers executed between 347 and 504 Vietnamese civilians, including elderly, women, children, and infants. When interviewed later, many soldiers echoed Milgram's subjects, "I was just following orders," or "I didn't feel personally responsible." The military systematically converts individuals into obedient instruments through multiple mechanisms: segregation from civilian life, oath-taking ceremonies, reward-punishment systems, and training that breaks down individuality. Soldiers undergo indoctrination about enemies threatening national security, while dehumanizing language about racial and cultural differences becomes normalized. These mechanisms parallel Milgram's laboratory conditions, but with greater intensity and fewer opportunities for resistance. Young men who had previously condemned Milgram's experiments often found themselves, months later in military service, performing actions that far exceeded the moral transgressions they had once criticized. Milgram's work challenges our self-image as autonomous moral agents. While we believe we would resist immoral orders, most of us would likely obey legitimate-seeming authority, especially when harm seems distant. This insight need not lead to despair. Understanding obedience mechanisms allows us to design systems promoting ethical autonomy through ethics hotlines, anonymous reporting, and whistleblower protections. Schools can teach principled dissent alongside respect for legitimate authority, while individuals can practice identifying situations where obedience might conflict with moral principles. The lesson isn't that humans are inherently weak, but highly sensitive to social context. The same malleability that makes us vulnerable to destructive authority enables our capacity for cooperation and moral growth. Perhaps our strongest defense against harmful obedience is awareness of our vulnerability to it. Understanding the psychology of obedience strengthens our ability to follow not just authority's voice, but the quieter yet more essential voice of conscience.